Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature center paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. We are exploring a number of topics connected with Samhain. And one of my favorite things to talk about at this time of year is that of ancestors. Ancestors can take many forms. Work with ancestors can take a wide variety of practices. One of the ways that I have found especially powerful is to work with ancestral places. So welcome to all of you who are joining me live tonight on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, CSNP, stands for Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And welcome to all of you who are joining by Facebook Live. I'd like to start out our exploration of ancestral places with a chant. Ancestral lands, ancestral homes, ancestral graves, ancestral shrines, ancestral sites, ancestral rites, ancestors. Ancestors, ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, 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 we remember you. Ancestors, 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 we commune with you, ancestors, 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 we honor you, be with us, commune with us, guide us, so be it. We honor the ancestors at Samhain time, and yes, those of us who have ancestral communion and honoring as part of our spiritual life connect with ancestors throughout the year. Ancestor places can take a variety of different forms, and we can learn about these, visit these, connect with these in different ways. I'd like to share with you some perspectives on the ancestral realm, since the ancestral realm is an ancestral place. There are different beliefs and philosophies in understanding ancestors and the ancestral realm or realms. After someone dies, many traditions, not only of nature spirituality, but a number of other forms of religion and philosophy and spirituality, recognize an afterlife. Some, myself included, call this the other world. Some other names are the Summerland, from the Irish, the Tir na n-Og, the land of eternal youth, heaven, The realm of ancestors is also a phrase used for this. When I do crossing over ceremonies for people in the last part of their life journey, depending on their orientation, their spiritual alignments, I will guide them in their final time in this incarnation into that other world as they conceptualize it. And often, as part of that process, the person who is dying actually has a vision, a sense, a connection with one or more ancestors. So the very first part of ancestral places I'd like to share is this other world. At Samhain, the tradition is that the veil between the world of the living and the world of the dead grows thin, which makes it possible for ancestral not only contact, but communion, connections, communications to happen. So spending time calling to mind your own understanding of afterlife, of ancestors, is a really important starting place. I recommend those who are interested in doing ancestor work of different forms at Samhain time and beyond to have some way of making notes about experiences. This can take up a journal that you write by hand in, or you might have a blog or some other means for making your notes, of notating your experiences. Ancestral experiences and encounters are similar to visions and dreams. When you have one, it is a good idea to appreciate it as it's happening, to reflect on it after it's happened, and to give it some type of form in your life so that you have a record of it and can do some additional work on it. That can be a really helpful part of your journeying with ancestors and ancestor places. So set down some of your thoughts. What is an ancestral realm? According to your spiritual, philosophical, or religious tradition that you've been raised in, that you are aligned with now, what are your own personal thoughts about this? What are some experiences? And also, spend a few moments honoring the ancestral realm. Now, a really powerful way of connecting with the ancestral realm is to create a place in your home that's dedicated to honoring your ancestors, learning about your ancestors, sharing stories about your ancestors, communing with your ancestors in the ancestral realm. You might call this an ancestor altar or ancestors altar. You may call it a shrine. I not only have an ancestral shrine year-round, at Samhain time, I create a place in my home that's dedicated to connecting with particular ancestors as well as the ancestral realm as a whole during the entire Samhain tide or time of Samhain. Some traditions in the Northern Hemisphere celebrate on October 31st, some at the full moon closes or the dark moon closes or at the midpoint between autumn equinox and winter solstice, which is closer to November 5th and 6th. I celebrate multiple days and nights and have already set up several ancestral altars for my communion and connections this season. What are things to put on your ancestral shrine? I like to have some symbol that's a focal point for the connection. I typically use a clear quartz crystal on top of a mirror. Some people will use a black mirror or concave mirror or a scrying glass. Some people will use a dark dish or bowl of water, not only for scrying, but to serve as an ancestral portal. I like having a dark cloth that I drape over the crystal and mirror when I'm not actively using the shrine in ritual. I do this in my own personal practice and in community practice when we gather together. In addition, I have at least one candle and usually multiple candles that I kindle, and a small plate and a small cup that serve as a spirit plate and a spirit cup for offerings for my ancestors at Samhain time. I take a bit of food that I'm consuming during the Samhain time and place it on the plate, take a bit of the beverages I'm consuming and put it in the cup. And if I'm celebrating over several days and nights, as I've already started doing, then I keep adding to the dish and to the cup. And after Samhain has concluded, I take the offerings of food and the beverage out to a place in nature, and I honor the ancestors at that place, typically at a base of a very old oak tree, and I return the offerings and the beverage, that's a composite beverage of different things that I've consumed, onto the land with a final farewell to the ancestors. I close the portal and I say farewell for the Samhain part of my ancestral altar place. What do I put else on the altar? Photographs, pictures, mementos, the name or names of specific ancestors that I seek to have contact with. But I also will kindle a candle for all my relations, all of my ancestors, as a way of honoring not only ancestors of family, but other types of ancestors. If there is a relative that has crossed over in the past year, I typically will create a place and for honoring that life and the ancestral realm. Sometimes that is part of a larger altar. Sometimes it's on its own altar. Who takes part in working with an ancestral shrine or altar at Samhain time and other times of the year? That's up to the person creating it. At Samhain time, we'll have my Samhain altar in the main part of my house, so it's open to those that might come and visit. My husband and I typically will have a household ancestral shrine with photographs and mementos from his side of the family on part of the shrine and from mine on the other. And I actually have a number of different ancestral places in the main floor of my house, depending on what type of workings I'm doing given a particular Samhain. So we have the Samhain altar and shrine for ancestors, and then we have a year-round ancestor shrine, an altar. And my main ancestral place is on the second floor of my home. And nearby, I have books about ancestral lines, ancestral places. I have genealogical materials. All of that's part of a much larger ancestral archives and shrine. I also have an ancestor shrine by virtue of my genealogical database that I keep on my computer. I consider that an ancestor place as well. And I think it's important to not only work with these places, but treat them with respect as you would any sacred site. Before going on to some additional ancestral places and how to work with them, I'd like to talk about what I call the three forms of ancestors. Ancestors of family. These are not only the ancestors of people we're genetically related to, but for those who are adopted, it's also, that's an ancestral connection with family as well. And in some cultures, I'm part Scottish, so there's the Scottish clan system. Not everybody who's part of a Scottish clan are genetically descended from a person with the surname or the clan name, but the clan would have associated families and individuals. And so there are some systems like that, which are ancestors of family. So when I say ancestors of family, I'm using it on a more universal sense. But there is some type of family-type connection that relate us to the ancestors of family. Then we have ancestors of culture or ancestors of community. Now, these can be connected with the place where you are dwelling. And most people live in places that there's actually been layers of culture across time, going back through generations, going back into the most ancient times. Who are the humans that had the land in your area as their home? So there is a way, and it's usually a multicultural experience. You may or may not know about the ancient ones that were once on the land. But as part of ancestral work, you may have some connections come through that's actually related to the place where you're doing the ancestor work more than an ancestor of family. So I mention this because as you go forth into ancestral realms at Samhain, you may have some encounters of different kinds of ancestors as you do ancestral work and become adept at it. I live in southwestern Wisconsin, and I know that people with Celtic ancestry settled here, as well as people with Nordic ancestry settled here. And prior to them, there were Ho-Chunk people, Native people, as well as some other tribes. And even before the Ho-Chunk, there was even more ancient peoples that once dwelled here. Part of my doing ancestral work, especially in outdoor locations, I honor the spirit of place. And as part of that, I acknowledge and honor those who have gone before, pay respect, invite their support as I do ritual. The third type of ancestors is what I call ancestors of inspiration. Sometimes people call these ancestors the mighty dead. And the mighty dead being those who have had impact on people, on humans. And one of the wonderful things about working with ancestors of inspiration, it's a way of doing ancestor work. If you are working through some family system issues and would prefer not to actually do that kind of work at Samhain, then I would invite you to consider the ancestors of inspiration. Who are the people that you have studied spiritual traditions with? If you're part of a particular type of tradition, who are some of the founders, who are some of the thinkers connected with that, those who have now crossed over into the other world? And who are people who are no longer alive that have made changes to the nation where you're living, to the world? Certainly, as I go into Samhain time, I look at those who have been influencers, who have been pioneers, who have crossed over into the other realm, even though I may not have met those people while they were alive, being thankful for their influences. So part of the wonderful things about ancestral work is you have choice, and there's a variety of ways you can work with ancestors. In fact, you can create three different shrines: an ancestor shrine for those who you are connected with, the ancestors of family; an ancestor shrine for spirit of place and those who have contributed to the land where you now dwell; and a third shrine for the ancestors of inspiration. Not only those who have crossed over in the past year that have had good influences on you and the world, but those further back in time. For tonight's purposes, I'm going to focus on ancestors of family. Since at Samhain time, most people are having connections with someone they're related to by blood, by marriage, by adoption. And how do we move beyond working with the realm, the ancestor shrine, to another kind of ancestor place? One very important way you can learn about ancestors of family is to go to an archive. Now, you can go to an archive online, to a library in person, to some type of repository of historical documents, and there is a lot of information online. If you're choosing online for your research, be sure to look at how the information is credited and sourced. Not everyone who puts information about an ancestral line online has done the research, has correct information. So just because you're finding it, and there might even be a book that it supposedly comes from, doesn't mean that that book itself is 100% accurate. So ideally, you will have original source materials. Some of those source materials you can get online, census reports and naturalization papers and all manner of things. Another really wonderful way of connecting with ancestor stories is to go to living relatives, either virtually or physically, if it's safe to do so, and get some information from being with people that have living connections with the ancestors. I have gotten a lot of my information about my ancestors of family by going to cemeteries. And I know that Samhain has cemetery work hardwired into its lore and legacy. And depending on how you celebrate Samhain, you may go to a cemetery where a family member or members, ancestors, have remains or memorial stones, and do some ancestor work there. One really powerful thing that one can do at Samhain time at an ancestral gravesite at a cemetery is to cleanse the gravesite. Now, every cemetery is different regarding access, when it's open, what kinds of things you can leave at the cemetery, how cemetery records are kept, and how you can access them. Some cemeteries are huge, and you actually need to get a map, and they're numbered, grave sites are numbered, and then you need to actually track it that way. Some cemeteries have their graves by GPS, and so if you have an app or device that allows you to access it that way. But actually going to an ancestral grave is really a powerful way to commune with the ancestors and to learn about them. Take rubbings from a gravestone. Take a photograph. I usually take pictures rather than rubbings. And actually, with the emergence of digital photography, it's possible to not only take multiple pictures, but to use different types of lighting, flash, to get the information from the gravestone and to get it in different lighting. And some forms of lighting appear much better in terms of being able to read and reflect on this later. If you're able to wash the gravestone or sweep dust, debris on the gravestone off, that's a real powerful offering to care for the grave of your loved ones. And at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we have a national pagan cemetery, and it's one of the first green cemeteries in North America. And every year, as part of Samhain activities, there is work at our cemetery, sacred work. And it depends from year to year as to what form it takes. Being able to go and quietly commune at a cemetery is a way to be in touch with the other world. And at our cemetery, people have made contact with their ancestors there, even though their ancestors do not have a gravestone or any remains there. But because it serves as a portal to the ancestral realm, to the other world, many people have found cemetery as a sacred place for ancestor work. I like to put some offerings at the grave after cleansing the grave. Often it takes the form of some fresh flowers or some fragrant herbs. And after spending time cleansing the gravestone, recording the gravestone, putting offerings at the gravestone, being able to spend time there. The spirit of the ancestor is in the other world. Grave actually psychologically, metaphysically, and spiritually can be a way to connect with that ancestor and the ancestor realm as a whole. In addition to cemeteries, I'd like you to consider as an ancestral place to visit at Samhain time, either physically, if you're able to do so, or through stories of living relatives, or online. There's Google Maps and some other means that actually allow you to journey around the planet to different places. So there are different ways that you may be able to connect with the place or places where a particular ancestor or ancestral line dwelled. So I've done a variety of different things in connecting with what I call ancestral homes. Actually going to structures of places where my ancestors lived for a time, or it might be a place where they worshiped, some kind of religious site, if they were part of a church, a synagogue, a mosque, some other religious area, or it might be a place where they went to school or a place where they worked. So an ancestral place could be an ancestral place where the ancestor spent time. Now, depending on how far back in time the ancestor is that you seek to make contact with, that structure may no longer exist. However, the spot where it was or the general area where it was, chances are you would be able to have access to that. An example, in looking at my Fox family ancestors, I not only went to Fox grave sites in Front Royal, Virginia, at the section for our family in an old graveyard, but I spent time in the local town and in the region where that line of the family had been for a number of generations, and went to the old homestead site. Homestead no longer standing. The particular land that my line of Fox ancestors descends from once had their home in a place called Fox Hollow, named for the family. And in the 1930s, my Fox family ancestors, along with about 100 other families from that part of Virginia, to leave their land because the land was acquired by the government and turned into Shenandoah National Park. I'm fortunate in that there were some records that have passed down through park history and even a nature trail that I'm able to take to the old homestead, even though the house was torn down during the acquisition process of turning it into a park. There's still some artifacts around, and the family cemetery is there. So actually being able to go to the family cemetery, even though not all the grave markers are still there. So you may find it to be very helpful to go to specific places associated with an ancestor or ancestral line, as well as to a general region. And as part of my trips to that part of Virginia, I have not only connected with some living relatives, but I've gone to historical societies, and I have walked around the various towns. I've driven around the countryside and appreciated my connections with the region. And this brings me to another form of ancestral place that I call ancestral lands. Now, we may not know specific places where an ancestor dwelled, and we may have something very general. A number of people in the United States researching their ancestry have learned that their ancestors have lived in multiple places, and some came from some other parts of the world before coming to the United States. Now, some people came to the United States willingly, and some did not. That's a whole other dimension of complexity regarding ancestors of family. But I do think it is important to, as part of looking at ancestral places, to learn the stories, learn about the changes of location, and learn about the lands. I have been able to physically visit lands of ancestors, and by being in other countries, to have had some sense of my ancestors come to me, not only through the ancestors of family connection, but that place known and that form of ancestral work of ancestor, of culture, ancestral parts of countries. So when I went to Scotland, I did not go to specific locations where my various ancestors actually dwelled. A few I did, but some others, the places are no longer standing. But I made trips to the archives and historical places, and actually Edinburgh being one of the places I had ancestors in for many generations over time, I just allowed myself to roam through Edinburgh. And at one particular time, my husband and I were walking into part of Edinburgh, and what I attribute to a connection with an ancestor that had been in that part of Edinburgh, all of a sudden I knew where I was going, even though in this incarnation I had not been at that particular part of the planet before, and found that very interesting. So there's also an additional complexity having to do with ancestors, which could be its own workshop in itself, which is the reincarnational perspectives that some families have. Their souls or spirits coming back into particular family lines. So there's a whole reincarnational piece. So was that a part of me that had been there in another life, or was it an ancestor that once dwelled there, or it's somewhere connecting them both? Well, one of the great things about ancestor work is that there's always room to grow and learn. And full circle, why it can be really helpful to make notes about what you're experiencing and what you're discovering. And as I do genealogical work and really looking at the stories and the facts and information that I am able to uncover through records and primary sources, as well as family oral history, if there's something that I'm not certain about the source work, I'm not sure if the story is actually accurate or not, I make a notation to that so that as I continue my work, then I may find things that substantiate it, as well as stuff that contradicts it, which gives me opportunity to do some more studies. So what are some additional kinds of ancestral places to connect with? I also think it's important to be able to connect with ancestral places through the powers of mind. So I've talked about physical pilgrimage to some places. I've talked about journeying and learning about ancestral places through actual research online and in person at various places. But there's another really powerful way to go and connect with ancestors in ancestral places, and that is the power of mind. So what I'd like to do in this next part of our time together is actually guide a ancestral journey experience. And to prepare for this, I invite you to take a few moments now. If you are able to do so, remove distractions around you, shut a door, turn off other devices and things, silent notifications and that type of thing. So you have as much quiet as you can. I also think you may find it helpful to get paper and pen and to have it nearby so you can make a note of what comes to you. And if you have a particular method for creating sacred space for yourself, it might be kindling a candle, it might be burning a stick of incense, it may be using sacred gesture to create a sacred circle around yourself, or envisioning a glowing sphere of light around yourself. I'll let you take a few moments to prepare as I do a chant for honoring ancestors. Ancestors, 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 we call to you. Ancestors, ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, ancestors, come to us. Ancestors, ancestors, be with us. Ancestors, ancestors, teach us. Ancestors, ancestors, guide us. Ancestors, ancestors, ancestors. Taking some deep, slow breaths, we center ourselves. We envision a beautiful sphere of light around us, with us in the center. We honor the sacred circle of inner journeying of the divine that's within us and around us. We create and focus on safe, centered, sacred space for inner journeying work. As we take some deep, slow breaths and envision ourselves in the center of a circle of light, a sphere of light, we know at any point during our journey, should we have a sense that we need to do so, we can return by focusing on this image and return to waking consciousness to move forward with whatever we may need to do. We also know that we can use this imagery and this imagining part of our consciousness to help us on our journeying. And so, in the next few moments of quiet, as each of us in our own way centers ourselves in the sacred space that we've created around us, let us imagine ourselves in our mind's eye, lowering our gaze, closing our eyes, if that works. We imagine that we are in a sacred circle. and a mist is around us. We find as the mist moves and shifts that we're at a crossroads. A crossroads, one road leading to the north, one to the south, one to the east, one to the west. We are at a crossroads of the intersection of roads from each of the compass points. We turn clockwise around the circle, and we're aware that there's a mist in each of those directions along the roads. And as we move clockwise around, we get a sense of which of those four roadways we are to work with, journey. And in the next few moments, moving clockwise around, pausing at north and east and south and west several times, get a sense of which of those roadways you will do some ancestral place work in the next few moments of journeying. Sacred roads to the sacred circle. Sacred paths to the sacred circle. Ancestral ways to the sacred circle. And as you come to get a sense of which of those roadways you will connect with and explore, you stand before it, and the mist starts resonating, and a light starts coming down towards your circle from that road. And that light is an ancestor that is here to connect with you and guide you on a journey. As the light of ancestor approaches edge of the circle from that compass point, it feels right to do so. Invite the ancestor to come into your circle of knowing and of ancestor honoring. And that light comes forth, and a form appears before you. It is an ancestor of yours, and it is there to share with you a journey to an ancestral place. You join hands with the ancestor who has appeared before you. And through your imagination and your connection with this ancestor, you are transported to an ancestral place. Imagine yourself now in that place. What do you see? What do you sense? What comes to you in your mind as you are there? The ancestor say to you about this place. And as you both are experiencing the place, image, a word, a phrase comes to you. Something that you can remember and work with to deepen your understanding, ancestral dimensions of this place, of this ancestral connection. Spend a few moments pay attention to what you experience. Give thanks for what you see and from the place, giving thanks for the center of your circle. For you and listening.
Yes, I'm in. Hold on.
Having your awareness be of what you've experienced and what you're experiencing now, and giving thanks. As you feel complete with this, bidding farewell to your ancestor, who once again takes on the light, passes from the circle along the pathway from which this ancestor came. Then, in the center of the circle that you've created for this journey, reflecting and taking deep, slow breaths, using the in-breath to bring you to a more waking state of consciousness, the out-breath, letting that appreciation that you've experienced going all around you, then wherever, however, you feel called to do so, expressing thanks, calling to mind the images that you've worked with of the sacred circle, of the paths in the four directions, of the mist, of the light, of working with imagination to journey to an ancestral place with an ancestor. Ancestors, we thank you. Ancestral circle, we thank you. Ancestral pathways, we thank you. Ancestral realms, we thank you. So as you give thanks, make some notes about what you've experienced in this journey, knowing that you can return using this journey or your own adaptation or some other variation to journey through the powers of mind to connect with one or more ancestors and ancestral places. I also invite you on things that we have focused on during this Ancestral Places workshop. Having an ancestral altar year-round, one or more altars or shrines at Samhain time, being able to go to actual places associated with an ancestor or ancestor line, collecting stories from living relatives, from researchers, from distant relatives that perhaps you've never met, but share some common ancestral connections. Ancestral lands, ancestral homes, ancestral graves, ancestral shrines, ancestral sites, ancestral rites. We give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. So I give thanks to all who have joined in now and those who may re-listen to this, re-watch this. I give thanks to those who have joined together live and later. Samhain is a powerful time of transformation, of letting go of what's not needed, of repatterning, of healing, of renewal as we move into the next turning of the wheel. Samhain is a powerful time for expanding and deepening our identity, going beyond ourselves in this life to connections of those who have gone before, our ancestors of family, our ancestors of culture, our ancestors of inspiration. This is a powerful time for connections and transformations of divination and information. And may we all continue our journey in understanding the sacred circles of nature. Samhain is a time of remembering ancestors and beloved dead. The old year, spiritual year in many traditions, is dying. Vegetation around is dying. But new life comes from the seeds that fall from plants that have died. New life comes when we shed. We no longer have serving us at this time of year. New life rebirth comes as we expand our awareness, not only of ourselves, but the interconnectedness of all life here on planet Earth and the cosmos. I give thanks to the ancestors now and at Samhain time every year and throughout the year. May we all find good ways of having the allies and support of ancestors in our lives and us contributing to the ancestors in the ancestor world with our love and our support. For more information about Samhain, ways to celebrate, Samhain events, Samhain podcasts that I and others who are part of the Circle Sanctuary community and the CSNP podcasting team are doing this year in 2021 and in other years. Well, go to the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, check Celebrate Samhain in 2021. You'll have a guide to not only our virtual Samhain Festival coming up on the 30th of October 2021, but our in-person Samhain Day Nature Communion Sacred Journey Retreat that includes time at our cemetery on the 31st of October 2021. the Ancestral Spirits Full Moon Circle on October 19th. And yes, there's a range of podcasts, not only the Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality podcast I'm doing, but Moon Magic and Lunatic Mondays and Pagans of the World and Circle Talk. So to help facilitate finding all those podcasts, and yes, we archive the podcast, so if you aren't able to listen at the time of broadcast, you can listen later. I invite you to go to CircleSanctuary.org. We also have material on my Selena Fox YouTube channel and the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel, and connect us with social media. Yes, I hope to do some more live streams as we head towards Samhain night and Samhain day. Thank you all for comments that are up on my Selena Fox Updates main Facebook page. I'll take a look at them in a little bit when we're done with this broadcast. And thanks to everyone who's listened to our audio podcast on CSNT. Thanks to our podcasting team, David and Jeanette Ewing, Circle Sanctuary Ministers from Northern Virginia, Deborah Rose, Circle Sanctuary Minister from Kentucky, Laura Gonzalez, Circle Sanctuary Minister from Illinois, Chicago. Thanks to all who are part of Circle Sanctuary community. And if you're interested in supporting this podcast ministry and all the other things that we do, consider being a Circle Sanctuary member, as we're a nonprofit organization. And CircleSanctuary.org on the web is where you can find out more information about that. And whether you're a member or not, you're welcome to sign up for our free monthly e-bulletin, Circle Times, that is a good guide to the various things we're doing online. And we are slowly starting to do some things in person again. And may we all have a blessed Samhain, all of you in the Northern Hemisphere, and those of you in the Southern, happy Beltane. Right blessings. Thank you all.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNPodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.